Greetings and a very sincere God bless you. And tonight we're talking to you from a very wonderful scripture about humility. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And that's the only way in the world you'll ever keep from the terrible sin of pride and keep in a humble spirit. And there's no grace more fitting as human beings than a perfect humility. We're the weakest and poorest and blindest of any order of intelligence, and our bodies are made out of dust, and our breath is in our nostrils, and our spiritual and mental nature is so depraved. We've got the weaknesses of the earth and the infirmities of animals, and I almost said the depravity of demons, and we come into the world so very helpless. If there's any race that ought to be humble and not have any pride or vanity, surely it is us. In order to see our need of humility, we have to look at our own nothingness and just think of how all creatures, it seems, around us, and it does to me at least, that everyone around me excels me. But also there's hardly an animal or bird or insect that cannot in some particular way excel me, either in speed or beauty of song or hardiness or docility, some trait which makes me as a creature feel my inferiority. And oh, when I look about me at others and how many times I've wounded friends and grieved loved ones and make so many mistakes, and I wonder that I could have ever had any pride whatsoever. In the midst of some of these facts, and I know you feel the same, some of you, to have one atom of pride or self-esteem or resentment or coolness or hard feelings toward any of our fellow beings, it seems to me, would just simply be the grossest of sins. And when I think of the grief that we cause our Lord, our precious Heavenly Father, and the blessed Holy Spirit, it surely behooves us to sink down into real nothingness. All pride of any form comes from the devil. It comes right out of the pit of hell. And could we always just remember that, perhaps it would add to our humility that we're talking about. We should never say that we have been injured or wronged by anyone. We should never be unkind or severe or impatient with the faults of the others. If we would see ourselves as God sees us and see us as we really are, take a good look at ourselves. If we sink constantly into our own nothingness, and then God can begin to use us. God's word, so many scriptures. You're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Oh, but we're not hid as much as we should. Pride makes us want to be seen and want to show. But humility is such a sensitive plant that it has to be hid. You breathe on it and it disappears, and you drag it in the open, or you boast of it at all and it's gone. And if ye then be risen with Christ, You're going to be one who has risen with real humility, because he was so very, very humble. Now, I want to read a few scriptures along this line. There's so many that as I went over them this afternoon, it just seemed like they were so endless. Now, God's word says in James 2:1, "Have this mind in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, wherefore God highly exalted him." Oh, you know, all broken hearts and embittered lives and war and bloodshed and jealousies, they all come from devilish pride. And I feel like if there's real humility and we see ourselves as so possessed of just what I've just mentioned, of all of these jealousies and selfishness and all, that would make us ready to accept a higher power and look to the Lord and turn our eyes upon Jesus and find the life that's revealed in Christ Jesus and empty ourselves as he emptied himself. What is atonement but humility? Humility is the very root of the Christian life, counting ourselves nothing, that God may be all and in all. And any hasty judgments or lack of love or indifference to others' needs or sharp words, I think, most often come from lack of humility. That was one of the greatest characters of John, one of our wonderful characters in God's word, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. They asked him, "Art thou Elias?" And he said, "No, I'm only a voice." He might have boasted that he'd baptized many people and he was a son of the great priest Zacharias, but he said, "There comes one after me mightier than I, the latches of whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. And he must increase and I must decrease. And that's the way it is with us. We must decrease and Christ must increase, or we'll never be highly exalted. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted, but he that exalteth himself, God's word teaches, he will be brought low. I wonder if we've been decreasing of late, or we've been trying to get some high place in life or some great position. A man that not so awfully long ago rebuked a friend of mine who was traveling abroad, said, "Please call me by my title." And three times in one evening he rebuked him because he didn't call him by his title. And God's word says so definitely, "He that is greatest among you, let him be as the least, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For I am among you as he that serveth." Remember that water seeks its lowliest place, just so glory and power of God flow in the humblest, lowliest hearts. And this is real nobility in God's kingdom. Oh, that we might have the determination to have this sweet humility. It's the sense of entire nothingness which comes when we see how truly God is all in all, and which we make way in our lives for God to be all and in all. God bless you. Remember, he's still on the throne. Prayer will change things for you, especially if you humble yourself in his hand.